from KUOW 94.9 Seattle. I'm David Hyatt in for Ross Reynolds. In 2001, Seattle became the third city in the nation to mandate paid sick leave for employees. But people don't always know what that law means, and that's not the only employee rights law that causes confusion. There's also a brand new state law on social media privacy.
Hi, my name is Lauren, and I would like to know what questions it is legal for an interviewer to ask about family planning and whether or not a interviewee plans on getting pregnant in the future.
Joining us with answers to that question and more is Lindsay Halm. She's an employment lawyer at Schrader, Goldmark & Bender here in Seattle. Lindy Halm, thanks so much for joining us.
Happy to be here, David. Thanks so much for having me.
So I want to just start out with that listener question and then get to a few more in a minute. Do you have an answer for us?
Sure. Well, those sorts of questions are entirely inappropriate. As you might, I think the caller is feeling uncomfortable with that, and there's a reason. If it doesn't feel right, sometimes it's because it's not right. There are several protections that I can think of just off the top of my head. The state protects against discrimination toward women. And if you're asked, if they're asking a question because they think that a woman will become pregnant at some point, that's probably not okay. There are also protections in place for workers who intend to take time off to care for a newborn baby, for example, and those are required at the federal level, the FMLA you might have heard of. So it's entirely inappropriate to use as sort of a negative factor a person's family status in terms of whether or not to hire that employee or not.
How often does it happen?
I can't answer that question. I don't think that anyone's studying that, frankly. I can tell you that I'm always surprised that it continues, but it continues. I get calls from employees all the time saying, you know, I've announced my pregnancy and now I'm being targeted for performance issues, or I'd like to take leave and all of a sudden my boss tells me I'm going to be demoted.
Lindsay Halm's an employment lawyer based here in Seattle. If you've got questions for her, whether or not you're an employee or an employer, give us a call. The number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Before I want to get to the sick leave thing in just a minute, but I want to start with privacy since that's so much in the news lately. And there's this new state law protecting employees' social media privacy. So that would be things like Facebook and Twitter, I'm guessing.
Right.
What's the law say?
So the basic idea is that, you know, I think legislators were concerned that they were hearing that employers were requiring candidates for jobs to give up their login and password information.
Hmm.
And that's a huge concern to folks because, of course, what you do on your off time really shouldn't affect your candidacy for a particular job. And so Washington now joined several other states to put these protections in place. Now, that doesn't mean that information that you post publicly is not something your employer can find out about. They certainly can. Anyone can Google a person's name and find out what it is that's publicly available. But if you've got protections in place on your social media pages, for example, the employer cannot require an employee or a job candidate to turn over that login and password information to go trolling through their personal information in hopes of finding something that they want to use as a reason to discharge somebody.
So they can't ask for your login,
right.
But they can see your Facebook page depending on what your privacy settings are, and they can make decisions based on that. What about, you know, you write something on your Facebook page that's critical of your employer?
Right. Well, if it's open and accessible to that employer, frankly, private employers can make decisions about who they want in their workforce, and there aren't protections in place for the worker. So just as if the worker walked into the conference room and said, I hate my boss, that person can be fired. Same thing goes for social media. That person says disparaging things about their employer online, the boss can probably fire that person. Now, there are special protections for public employees, have heightened protections because the Constitution, of course, can be enforced against public agencies and against governments, but not private employers.
Lindsay Halm is an employment lawyer based here in Seattle, and we're talking about some of the new laws that protect employees, one that also mandates paid sick leave that we're going to get to in just a minute and what exactly that might mean for you, whether or not you're an employer or an employee. You can also give us a call. The number is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. Are there other employee protections under this social media rule?
Well, let's talk about an exception. One exception, which probably makes sense, is that if an employer discovers, for example, that employees are saying negative things about other coworkers based on their status in a protected class, for example, somebody's saying something racist on their Facebook page, an employer is entitled and should enforce their EEO or equal employment opportunity policies and investigate that situation. They still can't require the employee to give over the password and the login information, but they certainly can ask for the information on that person's page.
All right. And another one that's come up lately because of all the NSA stuff is emails. What rights do you have or do employees have, and what rights do your employers have when it comes to email?
So generally speaking, I think people sort of have this notion that their constitutional rights are can't be violated, and they walk around with them wherever they go. And the fact is that your right to privacy is pretty severely restricted once you're an employee of a private company. And a private company, if you're using, you know, the company provided computer and you're using it on work time, the employer can restrict that usage and can probably say, hey, you're not allowed to do that. So your right to privacy is diminished in the workplace.
Can they read your emails?
Well, they certainly can read the emails that are coming from the employer account. I don't think I don't see that issue come up very often. The real issue is, are you using your time doing things that aren't work related?
All right. Lindsay Holmes, an employment lawyer based here in Seattle. We're talking about employment law here in the city of Seattle and beyond. And if you've got questions, give us a call at 206-543-5869. We've got Rebecca calling us from Holler Lake. Rebecca, thanks so much for joining us. What's your question?
My question is, I had an interview for a position at King County Courthouse, and the director of the program asked me if I was saved. And I was hired anyway, but that question made me really uncomfortable because I'm not a Christian and we were in a courthouse. So my question, is that unconstitutional, and what can I do about it?
Good question. And I should just say, I'm going to just talk very generally about what the rules are. I'm not ethically required or allowed to advise a person I've never met and I don't have an attorney-client relationship with. But just generally, Rebecca, the idea is that you're supposed to be reviewed as a candidate for a job without regard to your sex, your race, your religion, your creed, your national origin. There's a long list. So it's not appropriate to ask somebody about their faith in an interview. You know, there are ways you can make complaints, both directly to your employer. There are also agencies. There's a state agency called the Human Rights Commission and a federal agency called the Employer. You probably heard the EEOC. I'll just abbreviate that, where you can make complaints about treatment that you feel is discriminatory. Generally speaking, though, there has to be something that harms you, right? There has to be an impact. So if you hear something you don't like, but then you're afforded the same rights as everybody else in the workplace and you get that promotion or you get hired, generally speaking, you don't have much of a legal claim. You may be able to stop the behavior, but you're not harmed in any particular way.
All right, Rebecca, thanks so much for that phone call. And we are taking your phone calls about employment law here at 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. And Lindsay Holm is here. She's an employment lawyer based in Seattle. So paid sick leave, who is eligible for this new paid sick leave law in Seattle?
Okay. Great question. I think we should take a step back for a second. Paid sick leave is basically not the rule anywhere. It's a very rare exception. We're lucky enough that we have it here in Seattle and a few other cities. But the general rule is, and I think it's a big misconception, is that employers don't have to provide sick leave. They don't have to provide it paid anyway. So Seattle has now passed this new law. The general rule is, if you're in the city proper, and there's a map on the city of Seattle's webpage so that you know exactly who you are, you're entitled to a certain amount of sick paid time off for both illness and to care for a family member who's ill, or for safe time, which is if you're dealing with a domestic violence type situation. There are also other protections that come into play even if you're outside the city of Seattle, and I can get into those, David, if we have time.
But if you're outside the city of Seattle, what protections do you have, or what rights do you have in terms of paid sick leave?
Right. Again, because it's not a requirement that an employer provides paid time off, but you do have job protection if you need to take time off, for example, if you have a disability or if you are expecting a child. So there are certain protections at both the state and the federal level that allow employees to take time off. It may be unpaid, but allow them to take time off and still have their job protected, which is usually the chief concern of an employee.
How does this work practically speaking? Can you call up that morning and say, I'm sick, I can't come in? Is that your right? If you're in the city of Seattle?
It really depends on the employer, right, and what their policies are. But the safe sick time, it's brand new, so we're going to learn a lot more as it's implemented and people enforce it. But the idea is you're supposed to be able to call in and take that time off and have your job protected and have your time paid up to 3 days. And at that point, your employer can require some medical documentation for your absence.
We're talking about employment law here in Seattle and beyond with Lindsay Holm. She's an employment lawyer based here in Seattle. And if you've got questions, the number to call is 206-543-5869, 1-800-289-5869. I want to ask also about kitchen work. We've got folks out there who are involved with kitchen work. We know that because they call us. And I'm wondering just about breaks, like how often are employees allowed breaks?
Really good question. I think a lot of folks don't know this. You know, we have a real concern in this country. There's not many folks are in unionized shops anymore. And so I think employees are both afraid to ask what their rights are, and they don't know from their colleagues what their rights are. So the issue with breaks, breaks must be paid, and employers have to give you a break between the second and fifth hour that you're on. And it has to be a 10-minute break. It can be intermittent, right? It can be 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there. But they're absolutely required for hourly paid workers. And employees can't waive that break. They can't say, well, I want to stay on task or I want to continue to work the floor while I get tips. It's absolutely required. And there's good reason for that, right? You want your workers to be safe and healthy and be rested when they're, you know, interacting with consumers.
And what about between shifts? Is there any, you know, required time off between shifts?
So you mean, for example, if you work an 8-hour shift, can you come back in a few hours and work another 8-hour shift?
Yeah.
Good question. You know, there may be certain professions, or for example, pilots, that have a certain number of hours that they're legally required to work, and that's it. But generally speaking, there's no sort of minimum amount of time that an employee is guaranteed, and there's no maximum number of hours that they're prohibited from working beyond. But most employers, you know, overtime kicks in at 40 hours, right? And so most employers are not having their workforce work hugely extended hours because it's really expensive.
And how does, speaking of overtime, how does that work? If you work more than 8 hours in a single day, are you at that point eligible for overtime?
No, it's based on a work week. So between a Saturday and a Saturday, for example, it's based on whether you work any hour over 40. And at that point, you're entitled to time and a half pay of your regular rate of pay.
And is everyone entitled to overtime?
Great question. And these get really, really complicated. The best question is who's not covered, right? You should be presumed that you're an employee that's entitled to protection. Washington is a pioneer in employee rights. And we bring these types of claims all the time on behalf of classes of workers. So best question is, are you outside the protection? And there are sort of white-collar exemptions. There are certain exemptions for seasonal workers. There are certain exemptions for agricultural workers. And sort of the list goes on. But the idea is it's broad coverage.
We're talking about employment law in Seattle and outside Seattle here in Washington State with Lindsay Holm. She's an employment lawyer based in Seattle. If you've got questions, the number is 206-543-5869. And let's go to Kelly, who's calling us from West Seattle. Kelly, what's your question?
Hi. I was wondering if I'm a salaried employee, and I was wondering if there's any limitations on breaks. I'm not hourly, I'm salary. And then also about days off, if I'm entitled to any days off throughout the week.
Okay, so I think there's a couple questions in there. And Kelly, I'll just say the same thing again. I'm not allowed to advise you on your particular question as your attorney, but you certainly, if you have questions after the show's over, you should consult with an attorney. Many plaintiffs' lawyers or folks who engage with individuals advise them don't charge for their time. So you should certainly do that. And the Washington State Labor and Industries has a fantastic website that explains a lot of this. But my understanding of your question was that, you know, are you entitled to days off? Probably not if you're not in a union shop. And then I think your other question was, as a salaried employee, are you entitled to overtime? And it really depends on the types of job you're doing, the types of tasks you're doing, not whether you're called hourly or salaried. So it really breaks down on what are you doing every day? You know, an employer can't avoid paying overtime because they call their janitor an executive sanitation technician or something like that. They can't just label you something and then get out of the, you know, obligation to pay overtime. It really depends on what you're doing.
Kelly, does that answer your question?
Well, I'm a healthcare provider. So I'm a professional in the community. So I was wondering if Well, I can look it up on the LNI website. That's not a problem.
All right,
that's
Kelly.
A great resource.
Thanks so much for the call. And we'll have more of those resources on our website later today at kuow.org on the conversation page. And we've got Neil calling us now from downtown Seattle. Neil, thanks for calling. What's your question?
Yes, my daughter-in-law signed a non-compete clause, and she moved out of the area. Now she's moved back in, and it's been about a year, and the non-compete was for 2 years. How does that work, and what are the consequences of her going to work in the same field?
All right, Lindsay Holm, first tell us what a non-compete clause sure. is, and then the answer to Neil's
sure.
question.
So employers can require on an employee's exit, or even when they're hired for the job, to enter into a contract that basically says, I'm not going to compete with this employer when I go on to do something else. I should say the general rule is that they're very strictly construed, and that means courts are very critical of these particular contracts, because the idea is we want people to go get other employment and we want people to get jobs, and we don't want them to be restricted entirely out of earning a living. So that's the basic premise. So in any situation there's a non-compete, it's really important to have an attorney review it. It may be just an hour of that lawyer's time, but you can really understand, you know, what the document says, because they are often drafted by another lawyer, and you do, you know, you don't want to be in violation of that contract.
All right, Neil, does that help?
What can they do if you violate the contract? What is the consequence?
Good question. Employers can enforce a non-compete by basically bringing a breach of contract claim in court. So they can sue a former employee and say, you're out of line with the contract, and we want, you know, money damages from you for violating the contract.
Okay.
All right, Neil, thanks so much for the phone call. And we've got David probably as our last call we'll be able to take here. David calling us from Northgate. David, what's your question?
Hey, so I'm recently self-employed, and I'm learning as I go all sorts of little interesting tidbits about taxes and so on. Wondering if you have any little gems. I have no real expectation, but anything that a self-employed person might learn about employment law.
General question about employment law for self-employed folks. David, thanks so much for that phone call.
Thanks, David. I don't typically advise self-employed folks, because usually I'm hearing from employees that are, you know, engaged in a relationship with an employer or a boss. And so it's hard to answer your question. I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for.
All right. Well, I've got a couple more here.
Okay.
We got an email about employers and uniforms, whether or not it's legal for employers to ask employees to pay for the uniforms.
Great question. If it's something that you can wear generally, like black pants and a white shirt, you're going to have to supply that quote uniform. That's more of a dress code. A uniform that has, for example, the company logo on it, something like that, that is a required shirt, the employer by statute under Washington law should provide that.
And there's also a question of men and women and dress codes that way. Do they have to be, or are they allowed to be gender specific?
You know, generally speaking, they can be. What you'd be looking for is something that puts an unfair burden on one gender over the other, because, like we mentioned earlier in the show, the law prohibits discrimination based on a person's gender or sex. So, you know, if the dress code is only for the women and not for the men, you're going to have a problem there.
All right. And last question is about tattoos. We got an email asking about whether or not if you get a really huge tattoo, let's say after getting hired, can the employer look at this and say, that's it, sorry, you're fired?
Great question. Yes, they can. That's the short answer. Employers can make hiring and firing decisions at will. You probably heard that comment before, at will. And it can be for a reason or no reason at all. And it can be completely arbitrary, like, I don't like your tattoo, or I don't like your pants.
You heard it, Seattle. Leslie Holm, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, David.
Leslie Holm is an employment lawyer based here in Seattle. If you're an employer and an employee and you want the conversation to continue, you've got more questions, go to our Facebook page. That's KUOW's The Conversation with Ross Reynolds. From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm David Hyde.